It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Wham! April is gone. The May flowers come from the April showers. And I hope your barbecue pit is up and running. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, and it's tulip festival time, and they're going to have tulips in Holland, Michigan this year.
Well, yeah. I think they curated some, too. There's this new walkthrough thing there that is actually a living art exhibit that some guy from the Netherlands came over and did, and you know, it gets better every year.
They know how to grow things in the Netherlands.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But what'd you do this past week on the barbecue? I'll start with Bob had given me some hickory wood a few years ago, and I made my grilling station top out of it, and I had stained it and then lacquered it. And over the years, it gets beat up by the weather and grills sliding around on it and stuff. So it had shown its wear, right? So I go and I get a...
And I think you might have put varnish on it.
Yeah, to seal it. Cause
instead
I didn't want,
of just oil.
Right. Yeah. And anyway, I had to clean all that off and got some heavy grit sandpaper, put the belt sander to it, and what I couldn't get, then I got a palm sander and finish that off, then put a little finer grit to finish it better. And, man, I bought some just tongue oil, that Minwax.
That's exactly tongue what
oil.
You want. Yep.
And I covered that with, there was a coat, and then the next day, the second coat to let it soak in. Man, did that thing come to life. It was just beautiful.
There's,
it still
there's
is.
There's the lesson right there.
Yeah.
And your table is covered.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not inside, but it's got a roof
it's
over it.
It's covered, though. It doesn't sit in the sun.
That's correct.
And the snow, you'll get some snow in there and rain in there, whatever, but in terms of wood, I did the same with my island in the house. This year I redid it and just put tongue oil on it, because yep. I had when I built the thing, it's 9 foot long and 3 foot wide. It's very big, and it's all butcher block wood off my property. It's just gorgeous. But after a couple of years, I did this special process with mineral spirits and polyethylene or polyurethane and some poly wanna cracker thing.
Right.
And over the, you know, grandkids banging markers, all this stuff, it needed to be refinished. And I said, I'm going to research this more. And I came to the conclusion that I would just sand it down and tongue oil it. And that's why when you said, what are you going to do? I said, well, here's what I did. And I liked it better.
The only thing I'm worried about is the water, you know, because the wind blows. This is outdoors. It does get water on it. I'll have to see if that tongue oil makes that water bead up and
it absolutely
and
will.
Off, stays
absolutely
off it.
Will. Right. As long as you got the edges.
I did. Yep.
That's the key.
Yeah.
You'll be
it weeps
fine.
In.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, did you do the bottom sides too?
No, because I didn't take it off. It's installed.
Oh, I see.
So I just sanded the ends and then the tops and then I put the tongue oil on there. But it's gorgeous. I sent
I
you
a picture
of it,
yeah.
Man. It's like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
The thing just popped.
Lowell hickory.
Yeah, right. But, man, is that stuff hard. You can chew up I had a 40 grit to knock that stuff off there. I went through three of those belts, and the thing's only like 3 foot by 8 foot long, but it was chewing up belts. That wood's hard, you know.
Did you test it out with a grill fired up?
Yep. Did me some palancha steaks this year. We'll talk about those with Sobey. He's going to be on the show a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and because...
well, no, tell us now. He's got a different gig to go.
Okay.
We don't want to pull him down that rabbit trail.
If you listened 2 or 3 weeks ago...
and we know you did.
Right, yeah. Then this is a little bit of a replay, but stick with me. There is... When you go to a Brazilian steakhouse, they come out with this big skewer of meat, and they carve it at tableside, if you've ever seen that. And it's like a little C-shaped piece of meat, and they're shaving off the side of it, right? So basically what you've got is that is the rump of the cow. Right on top is a little steak that's only about 2 inches thick, and there's probably a half-inch fat cap on it, okay? So, and it's a triangular piece of meat, and it weighs about 3 pounds. I bought 6 of them from Sobey, and each one of them were about 3 pounds, okay? So it's a
and
little
And it's not
piece
horribly priced either.
No, $7 a pound at Sobey's. So, But anyway, I take a knife and about 1-inch increments, I score, put a diamond score on that fat side. And then I take Tim's blend, because that goes on everything, and I cover it with there, and I let it come to room temperature. That's my world. You know, Conrad covered that a couple weeks ago, that some people don't think that's the way to do it. I like my meat at room temperature or close to it before I start cooking it. So I let that seasoning soak.
You're saying it's not Conrad approved?
Well, no, it might not be Conrad's internet buddies approved, right?
There you go.
But anyway, my point is that you put that thing in a hot skillet, and I put a little tallow in there just to get a little bit of moisture between the bottom of the hot iron skillet and the I did the last one in the Dutch oven. You'd be proud of me. Then I turn it over, and I flip it after I get that seared, the fat side. I turn it over 2 or 3 times till my thermopen says it's at 120 degrees. And it's about 2 inches thick, so you gotta temp it, because you don't want it raw in the center. But, man, that you get that thing.
And they can be thinner.
Right.
It's whatever they'll cut them for.
Right, and those are the ones. All of them I got from Sobey are about 2 inches thick. But anyway, long story short, fabulous flavor. And it's because it's a top sirloin type cut, which is always a great flavor. But this particular one is, it's a novelty, because I'm cooking this 3-pound piece of steak, if you will. And my wife is like, where has this been our whole barbecue career? You know, I've never seen you do anything like this. And I'm like, I know. I just saw it on a YouTube, and I'm like, I'm going to try one of those. And damn, fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, and well, you can't get them everywhere, you go to
top
a butcher.
Sirloin.
Yeah.
And sirloin is just a fantastic cut that is overlooked by many. I did, I found one big top sirloin in the freezer. My cow's ready. I'm picking up my new cow in a couple of days. And so I'm trying to clean out everything left in the freezer.
Sure.
And there's like no steaks except this one big sirloin. And I go, you look like shish kebab to me.
Yeah, right.
And my family loves shish kebab. So
sure,
it was too easy.
Right.
And it's so nice.
That's a great tip. If you want a fabulous, affordable piece of meat, the top sirloin is it. So versatile. Cut it up into steaks, cut it up into cubes.
Now, Big Paulie would use tenderloin.
Well, of course. See, you know what? You know what? We've talked about that in the past. Tenderloin is not my favorite cut of meat. Is it tender? 100%. Is it flavorful? Not so much. It's so lean that fat is flavor in my world. And that's why I like these palancha steaks, or culotte, they're also called, because there's a layer of fat on there, and boy, does that
Conrad, I think the next time we see him, he's going to have a pair of gauchos on and the gaucho pants.
Oh, buddy, you know what? Lisa likes the way I look in those, so I might have them already.
My gals and Ben, when I was a kid, girls wore culottes. That was the big thing.
Pedal pushers.
Yes.
Yeah, now we're eating them. So I don't know if it's spelled the same, but it's a... it's a good cut of meat, and I'm surprised it took me, you know, 60 plus years to find one. But I'd eaten it at the Brazilian steakhouse, but I just thought that was something they did, and I didn't ever try it. But so you learn something new every day. Even if you're listening to Grilling Guys, you might learn something. Who knows? Because this grilling guy learned it, and I don't have it perfected yet. But I'm going to tell you that I got 4 more chances before I have to go back and buy more. So.
Good tip. And Sobey Meats is where you got it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Coincidentally, Tim will be on here
in the next segment. Yeah.
Very next segment.
Yep. So if you don't, you're not going to find these in the big box store. You're going to have to go to a butcher and order them. And because it's not a cut that they keep in their butcher case every day, which is why I asked Tim, well, if I order one, how many do you have to buy? He goes, like, I got to buy a box of 6. I'm like, well, then I'm going to buy all a box of 6 of them. And I'll take the risk, not you, because I'm sure he'd have sold them.
And you froze the rest?
I did. Yep. But anyway, so yeah. Good.
Are they in the garage freezer?
yeah, you know how to get in there, don't
you?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I was just curious.
Yeah. Right.
I'd hate to have to buy 6 to try one.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, Fogo de Chão is one of the great Brazilian steakhouse chains in America, and for a chain, I got to say, they're absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
So coming up next, my butcher and should be yours, Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. I think we're going to talk a little bit of sausage, but you know what? Summer is right around the corner, and you've got to try out all this guy's ground meat, brats. I've got a new favorite, his breakfast sausage. We'll talk about that, too. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the first weekend in May. You better have your grill off your garage and onto the back deck, and you're using it because it's time to heat some meat, baby. And my favorite meat man on earth is a guy named Tim Sobey at Sobey Meats, and guess what? We got him on the live line, Bob.
That's right. We're going to talk a little sausage, son. You don't know nothing about sausage. He should have made that commercial, Timmy.
Yes. How are you guys doing this Saturday?
Hey, we're hungry now, ready for some great sausages, and we just wanted to tell the folks a little bit about, I mean, we brag you up a lot, and you never let us down, but I think there's a lot that goes into making a quality sausage that many people have never experienced. They just buy the big box stuff. And we want you to tell us a little bit about how it is you go about making your sausage.
Well, obviously the first thing, and you guys as meatheads too, like all of us meatheads are, you got to start with good quality meat to begin with, right? So some of the other places, maybe they're trying to get a cheaper product to put in there. Maybe it's something that is kind of on its last leg. It's going to expire, and it's maybe to the point of maybe almost spoiling. And quick, let's use it up into this. And, you know, I'm not talking about other small meat markets. I'm talking about
no,
big boxes.
And what he's referring to, a little inside baseball, is I have a friend who actually sells meat wholesale, and he sells pallets of trimmings to big sausage companies. And these are, you know, you talk about bulk garbage.
Yeah.
That's where your sausage is coming from when you see a big label on it.
And so there again, with the smaller markets, then because we have one place, right? Our reputation is on the line with every piece of meat that goes out. So, you know, you don't want to cut corners. You want to use the best. And, have the best product out there for people to buy, and you hope they brag it up and they tell others to come in and shop in your place. So that's number one, is just starting with good quality meat.
Yeah, and that is very important. And Tim, I want to go into, you got a huge brat selection. We're right around the corner from the summer kicking in, when that's going to be a mainstay for your market. But I stumbled onto something that I saw in your meat case that has become my wife Lisa and I's favorite, and that is you've got a whiskey maple breakfast sausage in there.
Yes.
And it was in a little tub, and it might have been 5 pounds of it. And I'm like, oh, he must be just trying this stuff out to see if it'll work. Nah, it's there every time that I go. I was just overlooking it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But wow, can you tell us just basically how that's made? Because That's a household favorite now.
And basically, like with any brat, what's going to change it? Because you start with the same meat, right?
Right.
But whether it's pork or beef or a combination, but most of them are all pork. So the biggest thing that's going to change that flavor profile are the seasonings going into it. And this was one that that we were at one of our conferences, and one of our suppliers that does different seasonings had this and said, hey, here, take a pack of this and try it out. So we did, and like many other times, kind of doctor it up a little bit more than just out of the package. But that is a great product, and it's slowly catching on with other people, because usually somebody comes in, this is what I get every week. But then, like you did, hey, what's that? I want to give that a try. So people that come back, we're getting rave reviews on that one.
So when people talk about brats, now, if you go to Wisconsin, I think they have like a double grind.
Uh-huh.
You use a single grind?
Yeah, a single course grind.
Single course. But yep. You go to Wisconsin, you look at their brats, they look more like a paste. They taste fantastic. Because, you know, very heavy German influence, and they know how to do some things with sausages, too. But
absolutely, yeah.
But that double grind changes the texture a little bit. Is there anything you do a double grind on?
We do, well, besides our burger is a double grind. But then
I'm not talking about slow dancing either.
Oh. All of our meat sticks are double grind also.
Okay.
But most sausages, especially like a kielbasa and brats, traditionally are a one-time coarse ground.
Okay.
It's a texture
it is.
that I'm anticipating when I take a bite.
Yep.
Right.
You know, it's a little, it gives you a kind of a,
but the difference
nicer...
is that the brats are fresh and the meat sticks have been smoked already.
Yep.
And it doesn't bother me in smoked meat because that firms up. I think what I don't like in a double grind brat is that it's mealy. When you bite it, it's kind of just mushy. It does, where Tim's brats that are single grind hold together. When you got them cooked, you take a bite, it'll stand up on the plate. You know, I mean, I love that.
And it'll actually, it gives you something to chew, right?
Yeah.
It's like I'm not that old yet, so I don't need my food pre-chewed for me.
Yeah.
So I can still do that on my own.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So the show is all about dogs and brats on the grill this weekend and trying to get people hyped up about, you know, how to get simple foods on their grill because, you know, maybe their budgets aren't supporting a tenderloin all the time or a top cut anything, but they got a bunch to feed and they want to do it affordably. Brats would be a great one, but you have what I call world famous in your kielbasa side. And tell us a little bit about your kielbasa selection.
So that we have the Sobey recipe and the Parkside recipe. And as you guys know, I mean, we sell more of the Parkside recipe. That doesn't hurt my feelings in the least. That recipe has been around Grand Rapids for about 75 years.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It ended up in your shop for a reason.
Yep. And unfortunately, Parkside shop right closed up. And we had a gal that worked there for many, many years, the Uzarski family. And Sue, she was working with us, and she had the recipe and brought that over. And that's how we got that recipe. Nobody else is doing it in town. And it's still, we sell a lot of it, and people love it. So
I'll tell you
a
great way to make that. I used to buy that and bring it over to my brother when he was still with us. He was in Spring Lake and disabled. And I'd stop by and see you and pick up a couple five-pound packs of it. And I would literally put one whole, and if you buy in it like that, it's literally one big long section of kielbasa, right? And I'd coil that up on his Weber outside, and we'd have a cigar and let that thing slow and direct. And to see the look on his face when he bit into that, he looked at me like I was a magician. Yeah. that stuff is so good.
Yeah.
And when you do it that way, it almost is a completely different flavor profile as just if somebody was to simmer it and then brown it or they baked it, whatever they did.
Yeah, no comparison.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You're getting me hungry, Timmy.
Really good stuff.
Well, thanks for taking some time out of your busy weekend. I know you're up north doing some work on the hunting property, and we'll let you get back to all those worker bees you got. But thanks so much for joining us and talking about Sobey Meats grind and ground products with sausage.
Thank you so much for having me on, and as always, we appreciate you guys promoting the meat. So God bless you. All right. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bless you too, Tim. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, see you.
You bet.
All right, pal.
Yeah, bye.
Sobey Meats on Remembrance Drive in West Michigan, right in Grand Rapids. Walker, northwest side.
So, I'm hungry.
Coming up next, honestly, picking a broad is not that hard. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7, with 30% off brick oven pizzas and dollar off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio, or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and John.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. First weekend in May, it's brat time. We just got done talking with Tim Sobey. If you missed that, always a pleasure to talk to my butcher, and most of yours, too. If you've not been there, he's on Remembrance Road, just northwest of Leonard Street in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Great, great butcher shop. He can get you anything you need. But so we were talking a little bit about brats with him, and you want to talk more about how to pick out a brat?
Well, I do, but before I do that, I think this time of year in particular, you plan out your projects. You know, you plan out what you're going to grill. You plan out if you're getting a new grill, if you're going to rebuild it, all those things. If you're a serious grilling guy, if you're not, you're on the wrong show. But how about that? So if you have your spot the way you want it, if you don't know by now, you have to have some kind of a cover over that thing. And with this rain we've had recently, you know, if you want to get out, like the other night it was raining and I went out and did some shish kebabs. I had this beautiful piece of sirloin and carved it all up, marinated it, and I had to go out and grill it. And that's about the time the rain really broke open. And I just walked out the back door to a covered little area. It's nothing elaborate, you know, but it's big enough. Everything's covered. It's my safe spot. I mean, I'm it's like a blankie for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I walk back there and I'll tell you what, it is so nice to not have to grill in the rain.
Yeah.
And the snow.
Yep. And mine, my cover on mine is just like that aluminum waffle weave.
Corrugated steel.
Thank you. Steel on top of a frame. And, you know, I put a little frame up there.
You don't have to jump through any giant hoops.
Nope.
It can be, what Job's saying is, it can be as much as, and I've seen, I got a buddy that did one. He did 2 4x4s. Went up, they probably 10-footers or 12-footers because he sunk them in. And they could have been 4x6s or 6x6s, but I would do a 6x6 because they won't twist as bad. You could literally do 2 6x6s, sink them in concrete, run them up, and then put a couple of 2x6s across each one, and then make a little A-frame on each end, string it with a few 2x4s or 2x6s, and hang some corrugated. I bet you could do the whole thing for $300 or $400.
Right.
It's nothing. And what it'll do to your game day is change it totally. Because let's not forget, it's not just rain, but we got a long, hot summer.
Right.
And if it's really hot, and we get it, if it's really hot and it's your job to go out there and do that, wouldn't it be nice to have some shade?
Yeah.
And keep that nice cool beverage at a cooler temperature.
Right.
Than to stand in the baking sun while everybody else is out under all the patio umbrellas and you're standing there baking. You should not bake.
Right.
And you deserve better than an umbrella.
Right. Yep. So it's like Bob said, it doesn't have to be a multi-thousand dollar thing. You can, you know, this is grilling. It's a little rustic to begin with.
Yeah.
And
so the corrugated steel that Jop and I both did is perfect, which happens to be real popular right now.
Right. And a sheet of it is like less than $20. And you put four sheets on there, you've got an 8x8 cover. You know, it couldn't be easier than that.
No.
And they screw it down into the wood and it doesn't leak and life's good.
You never have to reshingle it.
Right. Yeah. Just up there.
Yeah. And we've joked about my area in the past, and I did actually move my big South American grill over to the pool area, which is so cool because now everybody's excited. They're going, oh, you could do like hibachi out here and all this. You know, it's now they're all excited now that the hard work's been done. But that's good. We want them to be excited about hanging out at the pool. That's what we do it for, right?
Right.
And but the real nice part is, and it's a pretty good size grill and shack. I don't know what the dimensions are, but there's three or four grills and deep fryers back there, and now I can walk around a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I'm rejuvenated. I'm ready for the year. I'm already thinking of another grill.
Yeah, and Bob and I both are fortunate enough to have pools in the backyard. So in another 2 or 3 weeks, everybody's going to be my friend, right? And yours too. And so that requires pretty consistent grilling every time somebody comes over. And if you're like me, I want to do the grilling. It's my house. You're my guest. And you are going to stand there in the sun. And you want a little roof over top of you a little bit. And so it's just one of those things where get ready because it's coming at you. And this is summer in Michigan, and we get, about 4 months of it, and then it's over.
Yeah.
So
picking a brat, and I think most people are typically going to talk brats more than – I mean, there are some good Italian sausages and kielbasas and stuff out there. And honestly – you know, when I go to the Kent County Fair every year, there's nothing more exciting than getting one of these big Italian sausage sandwiches. So I guess we shouldn't limit it to brats because those different blends of if you have a butcher that, and there's tons of great butchers that have lots of great blends. So whoever your butcher is in your area, if you don't have one, scoot over to Sobey. But if you have your favorite guy, you know, that's cool too. It's just way different than going to a big box store and getting that stuff that comes out of the factory. I mean, hugely different.
Yeah, you'll taste it in the flavor. There's just, I think if you were just joined us, you missed the last segment, but we had Sobey on. But one of the most profound things he says, every time somebody comes into the store, I've got to impress them, right? He says, it's my reputation that they're kicking out in a white wrapper. And when they get home, it better taste good, or because I want him to tell everybody else that where they got that. That's what the local guy does.
Yeah,
you know and I'm not knocking Johnsonville. I've eaten 1,000 Johnsonville brats in my life, right? But
they're buying the bulk trimmings,
right? Yeah, exactly. And sausage does have trimmings in it. Don't mistake it. It always does.
You don't want to watch it be made,
right? But at the end of the day, if they went from the trimming to the sausage grinder in a 30-second journey, not by the semi-load from a one processing plant
or a train
to the other.
Car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, if you're doing like this type of product this summer, and you're saying I'm going to have a hot dog bar, I'm going to have you could call it a dog bar because that could cover brats, Italian, kielbasa, all that stuff. I would. You know, just thinking back to my Kent County Fair experience, it is easy to overlook Italian sausage, and lots of butcher shops make a really nice Italian sausage. And if you do something like that on your patio, I would tell you that you'd probably want to have a skillet out there with you or have somebody inside doing this. But if you simply saute up a nice pepper blend with onions.
Right.
And then you get some nice buns. Go to Hall Street Bakery and order some nice hot dog buns or
hoagie buns.
And Wealthy Street Bakery. Get yourself some beautiful buns because that big piece of meat is going to tear up your cheap little supermarket buns. You don't want to embarrass yourself and give somebody a beautiful piece of sausage on a discount, garbage bun. And those things are full of chemicals and stuff that you don't need to put in your body anyway.
Well, that and they rip, right? As soon as you put that
piece shredded.
Of, yeah, you try to pull it together a little bit to put your condiment on top.
Yeah.
The bottom falls out, and then you're like, okay, I'm not
shredded.
Eating a sandwich.
Yep.
I'm not eating a dog. So, yeah, get a quality bun,
mm-hmm.
right? Come on, tip of the day.
But I'm telling you that Italian sausage with sautéed vegetables and then a nice mustard, any kind of mustard you like, that makes for a very memorable sandwich for your guests that
right.
is not going to be common when they are at a lot of other places. And let's face it, when we're grilling, we're kind of showing off.
Well, yeah, you better be if you're proud of what you're doing. The other thing is that you're not going to get that local butcher market flavor unless you go to the local butcher to get it, and
there's a ton of them. I hear people brag about their butchers all
sure.
the time. I love it.
Yep.
And I know we have to have our big chains and stuff, but you know, that's a good place to get diapers and paper towels.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And but anyway, coming up next, we're going to continue down this dog trail. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the first weekend in May. You got Kentucky Derby today. You got Cinco de Mayo on, I believe, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Next week,
which is
a
funny.
There's a lot of fun
because
out there.
If you go to Mexico, nobody celebrates Cinco de Mayo.
Right,
it's totally an American thing.
Yeah,
but so hey, you can make hamburgers if you want.
Right. Yep. But you know the
which is a ground
ethnic
meat.
Restaurants support it and they celebrate it and it's a good reason to go out with your baby and
bars
hang
are in
out.
The Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, right. I think there's something out at Fifth Third today or tomorrow with. Tacos and tequila.
We'll do a little research on that
yeah.
while you're yakking here.
Yeah. So we're talking about, you know, of course, I love hot dogs. I can't help it. I just love hot dogs. Always have. And Michigan has a lot of great hot dogs. Of course, the Kogel Vienna is huge. The one that comes out of Dearborn from Dearborn Sausage, I think it's called Dearborn Sausage Company. Is very good. That's the only one some Coney Island guys will use. But you can do all that. Go ahead and find yourself a great, dependable hot dog. Try not to buy those giant big box brands because if you saw what went into them, you'd really be sad.
Yes.
But when I used to work on the East Coast, I would always get sucked into lobster rolls. And in Maine in particular, they make a bun, and we should talk to Wealthy Street about doing these for us, but it basically looks like two slices of bread that are not real tall but very thick, and at the bottom, they didn't finish the slice. So what you're doing is opening up these two slices halfway down the bun, and you're stuffing it full of lobster roll, lobster salad. Well, you could do the same thing with hoagies and brats and all this stuff, and what you were talking about before is they're falling apart. The beauty of this concept is they don't fall apart. You get to actually walk around with your sandwich intact. But there's no point in going through all this stuff to find the perfect dog, the perfect brat and all that if you're going to buy a crappy bun. So at least wander into Wealthy Street Bakery and take a look at what a real bun is supposed to look at, or Hall Street.
So, or if you wanted to, this concept that Bob's talking about, they sell... many flavors of loaves of bread. And what Bob's talking about is cut a thick piece off and then cut that in half, but only go halfway down, so it kind of opens up. So
you could get yourself a loaf of Italian bread.
Right.
You could do the same thing yourself.
Yep.
Cut a 2-inch wide piece, and then the center of it, cut it halfway down.
Right.
That's an easy way to do it.
Right. And you're going to accomplish the same thing, but just think about that. That's really what a bun is the bottom's not cut out of it, and you can make them yourself, but you go there and you can get any, you know, dozen flavors of bread that are maybe...
I'm eating a loaf of their French bread right now because my daughter-in-law took off and I didn't have my sourdough bread for days.
Oh.
Days.
Yeah.
It was torture, I tell you.
Right. Yep. I noticed you've been posting pictures of her rather than you on social media.
She looks so much better than me.
Well, I understand that, but she's become quite the... food grilling
model.
Lady.
And I'll tell you what, this girl's a phenomenal cook, and we're losing her. They bought a house.
Good for them.
And because she is going to work for a company out of Middleville that makes water heaters.
Good for her.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
So, yep, kids She's are old enough now that she can go back.
Chief design engineer there, and of course, my son is at Battle Creek, keeping us safe with the Air Force. And
is that Selfridge?
No. But I did see the boss was there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah.
He got him 21 new F-15Es.
Yeah,
yeah. Macomb County, right?
Yeah.
They're moving
right.
toward Detroit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep. That's a great base. That's where one of our GI barbecue loads went.
Right. Yep. I remember.
Yeah,
that.
I had a great time there. They've got one of our big smokers there, so good for them. They'll have some new F-15s to keep it safe.
Yeah. Exactly. What a cool thing.
I'm sure it's in some master sergeant's backyard right about now.
Well, whatever. It's getting used.
Yeah. Anyway, the bun is a big deal, and those onions and peppers and all that stuff's a big deal. But let's say you're going to do a dog bar, and it can be, and what we always do, you probably do the same thing, but I don't just do hot dogs. I do sausages.
Right.
Because some people just wrinkle their nose at a hot dog because they're ignorant.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about our favorite Michigan hot dogs in the bunker. But it's always fun for people to have a little variety, and that's what a dog bar is all about. You know, especially again, I'll reference back to the pool. It's wonderful to have a buffet when people can pick up whatever they want.
Yes.
You got 8, 10, 12 toppings, whatever you think you like on a dog.
Yeah.
Put a little bowl or a squirt bottle of it out there and let people do whatever they want to do to make their own dog. And that's memorable, too, because it's quite a bit of work to get a couple cheeses out and the vegetables and the sauces.
So that's where I was headed, because we did the peppers and onions thing.
Right.
But for me, I don't know how you feel about these, but I absolutely love sauerkraut on a hot dog.
Yeah.
Sauerkraut and mustard.
Especially on a brat.
Kapusta, buddy.
Kapusta.
Oh,
and very often I'll have that. But then you can have your jalapeno slices. I like Chicago dogs.
Yep.
So I'm going to have some Viennas, and I'm going to have some very thinly sliced. There's a wonderful brand of dill pickles they sell in the supermarket. I think Fresh Thyme is where I get them. But they're sold in the dairy case, and they're in a plastic container, kind of tall, kind of a fresh-type pickle, lots of dill on them. They are fantastic. They're crispy. They're not all mushy because they're kind of fresh.
Yep.
You take one of those wedges, and you slice it so it's even thinner, and you put that down on your bun. You lay the Vienna in there, and then you put a couple of whatever your favorite little peppers are on the other side. You put some onions on, or you put some mustard on top, and then you smother it with onions. That's a great
Can you even taste the dog after you've got
all
that on
there? Absolutely. That's a Chicago dog.
But no ketchup.
Absolutely
not.
No
ketchup.
Right.
Absolutely not. You know what Clint Eastwood would say about that?
What's that?
Well, it's a famous line of his. That cop he calls meathead all the time. The guy's eating a gross looking hot dog, and it was just relish and ketchup. And
oh,
so
man!
So I never put ketchup on after I watched. Clint Eastwood say that.
Yeah, little kids like ketchup on anything, and you cut up a hot dog.
Oh, you got to do it.
Yeah,
you
got to
do it. You'll end up with chicken fingers on it if you're not careful.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But it's all good, and that variety is not that hard to plan. couple, you know, shredded cheeses, and then, as Bob mentioned, the vegetables and the condiments, and you're good.
Yeah, and maybe a bowl of Fritos, because you might want to crunch some chips over the top.
But there you go. A pot of chili, little pot of chili.
Shredded pickles. Didn't we have that?
Shreddies?
Shreddies,
yeah. You can buy those. Sobey's got those. Yeah.
I think here's the takeaway. When you're having your friends over, why are you feeding them? Because you love them. You're feeding them because you want them to stay. You want to treat them for bothering to spend time with you, blessing your family, right? So what you want them to do when they walk up and see what they're going to eat is you want them to see this really wonderful assortment of things and get their creative juices flowing so that they can go, oh, I think I'm going to do a brat with chili.
Right.
Well, you can't do that. Yes, you can.
Right.
You can do a brat with chili and sauerkraut. What do you think about that?
And here's the better thing, is if you're using tubular meat, it's not the most expensive stuff you can buy. Okay? So if you make a dog and you don't like the dog, throw the damn thing away another one.
No. Give it to your dog.
Yeah, give it to your dog. Yeah, exactly.
Tubular meat.
Right.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
I've got this mental disorder in my family amongst my kids, but I have a couple kids that say, oh, Dad, don't give that to the dog. He can't have human food.
Well, my dog lives on human food. I feed her eggs and sausage every morning.
What is human food?
Right.
It's a steak. It's a burger. Right. Your dog can't have meat? Is that what you're saying?
Just make it small enough, because our dog, whenever you gave her hot dogs, would just come right back up. So it wouldn't be a pleasant.
Well, you didn't have a wiener dog, did you?
No, I wasn't a wiener dog.
Well, that's why.
You didn't.
You got to have a wiener dog.
Chew it for her.
Right. I don't know. My 70-pound mutt loves meat, and she gets it almost daily.
For all those of you who tuned in, have you learned anything this morning?
Oh.
I hope so.
I
fear what it might be, but I hope you've learned something.
Well, we're given. We're not taken today. So those listeners got to take all this, and that's not necessarily the best position to be
and in. And full disclaimer, we are just entertainers. This is not professional advice.
Right. But anyway, so you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network.
Yeah.
Bob's waving at me.
Don't forget to go to thegrillingguys.com. Check out our sponsors.
Yep.
They're over on the right-hand side. You've got all sorts of people like Sobey, and you've got Garrett's. And check out our sponsors.
We'll talk with you next week.
See you.